Hi, guys. Can you guys hear me? Welcome, Jerry and Alana and Tana. Can you hear me? Judy here.
Yep.
I can hear you. I probably have too much noise in my car, though.
God bless everybody. I'm so glad we're here together on another gorgeous day. If anyone doesn't want to share right away, unless someone's dying to say something, I'd love to play another worship song.
Well, that way I got my car back today. Yay! Praise the Lord.
Yay! Tana got her car back. And was it a pretty good deal, money? Cost effective, was it for you?
yeah. It was a Vail a valve had come off in the engine, and yeah, for $240 out the door.
Well, that's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was like, let it not be an over 300, Daddy.
Oh yeah, he blessed me with this wonderful mechanic friend, and he is really a blessing. So God bless my mechanic friend abundantly.
So I'm going to mute myself and let you all share, or we can do one. I would love to play one more worship song while I'm making the boys dinner. I have to do that right now.
Go for it.
So if anyone's dying to share, anyone right away yet? Okay, well, I would really love to worship the king. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say hi for everybody. I got out from my concert a little bit early, and I'm still coughing and sputtering here. So I'm just calling in to say hi, and then I'll listen. But hi, everybody. I'm getting a little better, so I'm good. Just glad to hear what everybody
has. We love you,
Jerry.
I'm really glad you called in and said hi, because, you know, people are wondering, where's Bear Bear? I'm like, he's just sick. And now he's at a show. He got out of bed. Well, we already know he's sick, but he's also sick.
Right.
we are all infected with RC, so we're all sick. But let's dance with Jesus, if it's okay.
We love you, Jesus. We're going to dance with you. We love you.
We can't wait to see you. You found faith. You found faith here. So come and get us now. Don't wait another day. Don't even wait another hour. Get us during the show. Okay?
That's right.
That's my thing. We love you, Daddy. And, yeah, we want to see you. We want to marry you. And yes, we're being patient, but we really want to see you. So get here. Get here now. We love you.
Spring time has come. good day to poop. What do you guys think?
Here you go. Here's your food, sweetie. I'll play another song.
I'm like doing five things at once here. Okay. So let's see. Oh, I accidentally muted Tana. I didn't mean to do that. Oh, no. Okay, never mind. She called in again. Okay, can you guys hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. We have Alana and Jerry and Pat and Tana. Anyone
Hi,
like
guys.
To share what Daddy's done today? I'll share when I'm done serving dinner here to the boys. And then if you guys want to share, or shall we worship some more? Because I love to worship on Friday night. Alana mentioned that last
sure.
week, too. I think we were worshiping. It's just nice to worship as a
mm-hmm.
family.
Mm-hmm.
If nobody wants to share right now, I can do another song and I can take a request.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Well, all right. Here we go.
Okay. I need to hear you. just search. How are y'all doing?
How are you, honey?
Pat, Sister Pat.
Hey.
How is your day been today, my dear?
What, dear?
How has your day been today?
Oh, it's just quiet, just here. Numbers, you know, same old, but at peace. Very close. I have to tell you, the picture I have in the kitchen, the Holy Face picture, oh, my goodness. He comes so alive from there. His eyes change. His lips start to move. Every day it's like something more. And sometimes I'm looking at the TV. No, I look at the TV because I watch the news a little bit. But I'll turn around and look at him, and he is just looking at me with this look. Oh, my gosh. It's like I am right with him. And the angels flash around, and the lights all around. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
What a gift. What a gift. And I said, you know what I'm going to say. When? I drive him crazy.
Oh.
But the more he manifests from that picture, it's the Holy Face picture, the more I don't get scared. I might get a little, I don't even know the word, thrilled, or I'm just so aware that he's there. Oh, he's just there. I can't explain it. Oh, I can't explain it. His presence is right there. And I said, you know, we're in love enough. You could just come in my kitchen right now, and we will turn this world upside down for your father just because we love each other. That's how I talked to him. And I know I got a lot of help. I said, you got a lot of people out there. Same feeling I got. I'm thinking of you guys, you know, first and foremost. And I said, we got lots of company. I want to do the same thing. I say, you don't have to wait for nothing. Just get here. And I cry, and I look at him, and I say, just get here. Just, we want to be with you. And I'm always saying, I say we, because I got everybody in my heart. You know, I share everything. If Jesus is the soul of our soul, then all of us are one. All of us are one in him. And so whatever I'm having, whatever he's giving me, I'm giving to you, because you're having this too through me, okay? I don't keep anything for myself. And this is so funny. Oh, this is so funny. He'll say how jealous he is, you know, if he says, you think I ever want you to be with another. I said, no, I know that. I know you're jealous, God. I said, but I'm not jealous of you. You're the bridegroom of creation. And if I see you hugging somebody, listen to me. If I see you hugging somebody, I say, I'm joyous. I'm so happy that that soul is enjoying your love and you're enjoying that love. There is no jealousy in me or anything. I am so happy because I know what you and I have. And there is no way if I could ever be jealous of anybody with what we share, you know. But he comes so alive, and today even more so. And I won't talk about the rapture or anything, but I don't have to, because I see all over the place people are going crazy. I'm like, now, eminent now, repent, right? You know, and it's like, I love it. So that's how my days are. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful. I can't thank enough. I can't thank enough when he comes. He's just looking at me, and the lips move a little, and the eyes change. Oh, my gosh. I just look at him, and it's like I'm so at peace, but it's like how you condescend to us, how you love us so much that you would do this for me. I'm like a nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm just an ordinary housewife. You know what I'm saying? I have a high school education. Why do you condescend to a dummy dude like me? Well, he must love simple nothing souls because, you know, he doesn't leave me. He doesn't leave you. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying for myself. But if you really want to love him, he's not leaving you. He's not leaving any of us. And he's homing in, and he's homing in, and he's homing in. Ay, I can't find words for it. It's like I see him doing this, and it's like I just look at him like, whoa. But I'm not scared. I'm not scared. But it's like this sense of gratitude that I have. Like, you would do this for me? I mean, you would be this present to me now in my kitchen?
Oh,
it's so incredible. Guys, it's just incredible. It's incredible. And he'll say, like, I wanted to go out there. He said, no, sit here. I put on soft music from the TV. It's only pictures of scenery. It's very lovely. And I talk out loud. And when I talk, I don't know, guys, maybe somebody's got a thing on this. When I talk out loud, it's even more profound he comes alive, because I'll say, you know, I love you and I appreciate this so much. I know I don't, you know, I don't understand why you're so kind to me, you know, and he just he's so alive and he's there. He's there. Oh, I just saw an angel. I just saw an angel. See, the Holy Spirit's just all over me. And the angels, and I see them flash at the side of me, and I see him flash on his face. And his, oh, my guys, if you could see how his eyes change. I mean, I should be crawling under the first rock. I'm not. I should be crawling under the kitchen table, but I'm not. He's just there, and that's for all of you. He's doing this so I can tell all of you how there he is. His presence is there. And he manifests differently with everyone. Okay? He doesn't shake my bed. I would freak. I'd probably yell at him like, I have to get some sleep. My sleep is so bad as it is. Don't shake my bed. Do that to Judy or somebody else, but don't shake my bed. But he has a different way with everybody. And this is how he comes to me. I mean alive. He might as well just be in my kitchen. I am telling you, girl, he should be in my kitchen. Oh, he is so alive, his presence. And sometimes we just look at each other. And he says, just to look at me glorifies me. He says, you're making up for the ones who don't even believe or love me or have anything to do with me. He says, you could never be with me enough. He says, look at me. Just sit there and look at me, whether we speak or not. And I say, we don't even need words. Many times we sit in total silence. We just hold each other. I have his head on my heart, and I let his tears fall in my heart. I just hold him. And you guys do it too. And we don't, Jesus and I don't say a word. We don't have to. That's real love, when you don't have to say anything and you're so comfortable just holding each other. He's human. He's got a human heart. Love him. He's feeling. He's crying. He's like us. He became one of us. Invite him. He's got to be number one. He's got to be number one. And reach out to him and don't be afraid. If you're sincere and you're reaching out to him, man, get ready. I see it. I see it every day more and more. He's coming so alive. And it's like, you might as well just be in my kitchen and I'll make you a cup of tea. That's what I tell him. Yeah. And I said, if you came in my kitchen, I said, I would just make you some tea, and then we'd sit down, and then we'd hug each other a little bit, and then we'd sit down and talk turkey. You know, like, what do you want to do? Who do you want to see? What do we have to take care of? What does your father want? Let's get this going. Let's get this done, you know? Like a warrior sound in me, you know, but also a lover, a spouse, a friend, a child, of, you know, like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Let's take on this world right now. Let's get this done for your father. And we can, because we can, because we can. And that's for all of you. Oh, my goodness. I can't get over the presence of him. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It is so strong. It is so strong. And we don't even have to say anything. But when I talk out loud with him, with confidence and oblation, man, oh, man, oh, man. He loves it. He loves it from you guys, too. Mm-hmm. So there you go. It's like a flirt every day. And I'll sit there for several hours, and we just talk. And I don't even want to pray. I may say a little prayer or an Our Father. Yeah, but it's like, just look at me. Just tell me you love me. Just look at me. Just talk. You don't have to say a whole bunch of prayers and stuff, you know. And it's just this presence. And I tease him.
Oh, keep going. Sorry, Rosemary in the chat room saying that's awesome, Pat. And she's enjoying it. Keep going, and then I'll tell you when you're done.
Yeah, this is so funny. And he and I, she said, oh, Lord, I have to go to this place to visit. He says, I would just throw the fowler's net over you to keep you in the Christ consciousness. And I say, and what do you want to be? And I said, you can be in the Patricia consciousness. And I thought, the Judy consciousness, the Alana consciousness. I said that to him. I said, you know, we're going to get you too. You're going to be in our consciousness. And he just loves it. Guys, he loves this. He loves it. He loves it. Oh, my gosh. I'm with him. He is with me there. This is our little place. You know, like you might go on your garden somewhere or go to a park. I'm the kitchen lady. I sit in the kitchen. So simple. Soft, beautiful, beautiful music. I mean, you could blend it in with heaven's music. And that's what I said. I'm playing you the music and blending it with heaven. And a minute I look at him, the lights are on him, his face changes, I see flashes of angels. And I am not here. I am here, but I'm not here. And we are together. And we are talking. with each other. I don't know, someone of you guys said something about the presence of God, how it's just so natural, and in fact, you just talk to him, and you're just with him, and it's like no stress or angst or anything. It's like, just be with me, just talk to me, just be with me. Just be. You don't have to say anything. Look at me, be. I know where you're coming from, and oh boy, he's coming more and more with his presence. It's so strong. It could freak me out. I'm telling you, if he didn't give me a special grace, I would be freaked out. You know, I would be under that table so fast. Because he's just so there. He's so alive. Oh, man. So this is every day. And he will tell me. Come in the kitchen and sit and just look at me. Look at me and talk to me. Because he meant, this is his way of just being with me without being there. I mean, if this is a life-size face. If you put the body to it, and I said, yeah, I guess you're about 6 feet tall. And I said, I could picture you just standing there because you're so alive now. There's hardly any difference if you just manifested in front of me. And I said, you know what? It would be beautiful. I said, we would just get right down to whatever has to get done, turn this world around, do your Father's will. And I said, no stress at all. Just do it. So that's how peaceful I am with him. That's how much at home I am with him. That's how comfortable I am with him. That doesn't mean I don't work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I know he's God, but he's man. He's man. This changes everything. And he wants to be in our life powerfully, wonderfully, gently, sweetly. He wants to be number one. He wants to be in our life, you know. And he knows he is with me. He knows he is with you guys. You don't think he doesn't appreciate all the time and all the love and the prayers and the consciousness that you give him? Oh, my goodness. He does. He does. He appreciates it so much that you pay attention to him, you know. Yeah, so this is what I feel, this tremendous presence every day. And this is pure gift. And this will go on for hours. And sometimes, you know, we're our human nature, well, I'm kind of useless, ain't I? Because I'm sitting here and I should be running around. No. You stay with me, you look at me, you talk to me, I don't care if you say anything, drink me in, let me drink you in, and so alive.
Oh,
so alive. I mean, alive.
Well,
there.
I was.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's my son's best friend's birthday, so I just finished the cookies, and now they're eating cookies.
Oh, yummy.
But anyway, I wanted to say, amen, Pat, amen.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And it's for all of you. He's doing this, and I'm giving it to all of you so that he has this with everyone. Everyone. There's no exclusivity. There's nothing. This is for everybody. But how many are going to do this? How many are going to give him the time and just home in on him and let him home in on you, honey? And I do mean home in on you. Purest crystal, warm as the brightest star, but man, he is there. And he loves every little thing you say to him. And sometimes I'll say silly things to him, and he doesn't care. I said something today. If I think of it later, I'll tell you. I said something silly to him, you know. And he just loves it. He just loves it because he knows I'm sort of a dingbat, you know. He just loves it. He loves it, guys. He loves it. Any little attention you give him, you're repairing for the ones, too. You're building your own relationship with him, but you're also repairing for the ones who have nothing to do with him. It's a reparation of love, too, while you're enjoying all this love, all the sense of his presence. I cannot tell you the feelings. I think have you ever had emotions go through you and you can't define them? You can't define them. They're so incredible. Yeah, that's what I have with him. This overwhelming sense of presence. He's right there. He's right there. He's in the kitchen.
I'm in the kitchen with Pat. And you're now is now.
Yeah.
You're
half in heaven.
You have it. It is
I
now.
Have it. I've got him. I've got him now. In my kitchen.
My girl has just spoken the truth.
Yeah.
Now
he's there. It's like we've started our life already on earth. I said to him, the rapture is great. I want to go up, but aren't we coming down for 1,000 years? And I said, 1,000 years is going to be just like this. You're in my kitchen. I'm going to make you tea. And every one of you guys are going to do the same thing. He's giving me a taste already what it's like. And I said, everything is so simple. I said, there's nothing complicated in loving you. We sit, we talk, we cuddle, we share, we do, we this, we that, you know, and it's so sweet and simple. He doesn't ever make you feel like, well, I'm God Almighty, you know, and no, no. He's friend, he's spouse, he's father, he's brother, he's any relationship you want him to be. I'm the mush, so he's the spouse, you know. I tell him, I haven't had parents, so I'm not too good with this daughter thing. I said, I'll double up on spouse. He's not complaining.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Give Jesus a chance. Oh, wow.
Well, you know,
This is every day.
Would I be interrupting if I was going to share now?
Oh, no, go ahead. No, thank you.
Okay. I have to end the show right in 20 minutes, guys. I just have to. And it's not that I want to. I just, okay, thanks. I'm just, Jerry is still not feeling well. He had to go to his daughter's thing, so he probably could have done longer. I just can't. When I can, I will, but when I can't, I can't. It's just kind of crazy. But God knows my schedule. But anyway, what I wanted to say was I had to get permission from God to share what I'm about to share. So,
okay.
And I did. Because I love what Pat's saying. And it's funny because I'm saying the same thing. I'm about to say the same thing.
Yes, you are.
But it looks like the total opposite experience. Okay, so here's what I'm saying. What someone may view as a negative thing today is just as glorious as what Pat's saying. It's just called being real with God. And you know what? It is so beautiful when you're in a relationship on earth. If any of you have been married or you just have a really special relationship with like a sister or a brother or a friend or even people here, everybody knows what I'm saying. Trust and real authentic relationship, it is like sunshine to the soul. There's nothing like it. When you can be open and honest and get something off your chest and tell someone the real truth and they get to know the real you, you feel like you've died and gone to heaven when you can have a friend like that. And see, Jesus wants us to be real with him. And I didn't know how real until he fell on my son. Honestly, I really, a lot of the revelation and the depths I've gone with him has been in a year and a half. Oh, we've gone deep because I've known him for 28 years, but I'm talking like he like put me in a rabbit hole fast. You know what I mean? Like we went deep really quick because of what he did. And that was just what he wanted to do. It's just what he chose for me. And that was just the path he had. We are all on our own path and no one is at a greater place than anyone else. Some of us just may have had more time to have more experiences, you know? But what I'm about to share is I wouldn't really say I'm, it's not something you would go, oh, I can't wait to share this, because it sounds bad if you don't have ears to hear and if you're not seeing eyes with the Spirit. But God said I could, so I will. And I'm thinking you're going to be blessed by it. And because he told me, you know, honesty and openness and vulnerability and being transparent is beautiful to him, if we can be transparent with him and one another. And that's just kind of what he decided to do when he fell on my son, was to make my life an open book. What was hidden, he wanted to make public, which is fine with me because he'd already gotten good a hold of me 7 years prior and changed everything, or 5 years when he fell on my son. So I was ready to have my life open like a book for everyone to see inside, you know. And what I want to say is this, and I hope it blesses my family because you certainly blessed me tonight, Pat and everyone that's sharing, Alana, and everyone that calls in, even when you just call in and Rojo in the chat room, you guys are just a huge special part of my life, and I appreciate everybody. Carol, Raina, Tana, everybody here. I love you guys. Sarah Bell, when she can make it. Okay, so basically, Michelle, yeah, everyone, okay? Everyone. Benster. So what I'm saying is this. I was in my closet. Again, it's really funny. There's certain key places he talks, but I have a big walk-in closet, and I was putting something away, and he said, he let me know how blessed I was that he chose my son to land on, to announce his timing. And, okay, when he said it, I'm like, yeah, I'm so blessed. And I know this isn't great, you guys. I know it's not a great attitude for me to have because I was blessed a year and a half ago. I was even blessed, you know, 8 months later, but
over a year later? How is this a blessing, God? You told me to give up everything. I gave everything away practically. I have nothing. I have no money. I have no job. I get it, okay? I get it. I'm blessed. But I kind of like got kind of ticked when he said it. It just threw me off. Mm-hmm. He was like, you're indeed most blessed that I did this, that I gave you this revelation and I fell on your son. And what a glorious thing if you heard God say that. But you have to put yourself in my shoes, and I'm all about mm-hmm. authenticity and being real. God can mm-hmm. take your wrestling. Because, you know, when I wasn't authentic with God, it came out in other ways. I was being passive aggressive. You got to just be real. And instantly, I was like, you know what? How is this a blessing? Yeah, I know it's a blessing, and thank you. I really appreciate it, but this doesn't seem right. You told me I was not going back to work. I quit everything. And I actually like working, okay? I actually had a really good gig going. And so, I mean, I know this world sucks and everything, and everything's going bad, okay? But, like, I didn't even really want to. I did because he said to, okay? And he always let me know. Like, it was really weird, but in 2012 when he woke me up that he was coming soon, something in my gut knew that right before he got here I would be quitting my job, my full-time job. And that was just a gut thing. So when he fell on my son, it kind of all made sense. And he told me to. And I'm just like, it feels like you just, I mean, I know it's not true, but it feels like you trapped me. This was a blessing, but we're still here. And it's not funny. And I know you're not lying, you're not playing games, but how is this a blessing? I'm running around doing all these different things. I can't even keep my head straight. I have got so much, I'm trying to homeschool my kid. Okay, that's a full-time job right there. Okay, has anyone, you know, I'm like, okay, and
yeah,
I'm not just him, but hold on, I'm not done. I just want to finish because it's like I only have so much time and I'm fired up. So,
oh yeah,
it's not only him that I'm homeschooling. I'm actually a certified teacher, so other kids in the community that are homeschoolers, I get together and I do things with, like right now, okay? And so it's like I'm very busy. I am like I was already busy, and even though I was staying home in the very beginning, I wasn't. But now it's like now I'm running around to sub jobs, going here and there, trying to figure out when I don't have a car, I have to ride my bike. I'm riding home in the rain yesterday. I feel like I just this is not right. So this morning I was yelling in my car after I dropped my sister off at work. On my way to work, and I'm just like, how? Why aren't you here? You know, you need to be here. This is not right. You told me I was not going back to work. That's what you said. You said, quit it all up. Give it all up. And I was yelling. And I'm have permission to share this because he said I could. I'm not looking for anyone to give me any advice or anything because I'm actually mm-hmm. really blessed. I'm just giving you my experience in hopes that it'll encourage you. And if it doesn't, I'm sorry if it's just a boring story, but I just feel led mm-mm. to share because I believe that I never was given permission by God to behave this way until he pulled me out of church 7 years ago. And he said, now you can sin, like trying to be so perfect, quit trying to be, you know, and what sinning to me meant actually doing something for myself. Like, oh, really? Like, instead of, like, doing everything with church when I get off work and after my family, oh, you can actually, you know, bike ride with a bike club and forget church. And, you know, let these people take care of themselves. You're working too hard. And he set me free from religious works. But I actually enjoyed doing them. I love people. I loved serving in my church. I loved being needed and loved. But I also loved serving. I did it out of a joyful and grateful heart for my God. But the thing was, God saw, I was worn out, you guys, single mom. And he pulled me out. He pulled me out of the institution, and he wanted to bless me. He said, now join a bike club, and you can get another bike. I already had a really nice one. And he was like, no, you can purchase this. And I really went on trips. I was active in this club. And he really got a hold of me. And he really taught me to be real with him. And he's like, just be with me. That's all I require. You don't have to do anything for me. Take me to the ball game with you and your son. Just take me and just enjoy me. You don't have to minister to everyone. You don't have to, you know, and I wasn't doing it because I felt like I had to. It was just I think deep inside, any of us that love Jesus, unless we get freed of it, a religious spirit comes on everyone. I'm sorry, unless you're aware of what you're doing, you think somehow after God saved you and did everything for free that somehow you have to pay him back. And we all do because we're in this world, so we think we owe him something. And it was such a hard thing for me to learn when he pulled me out of church 7 years ago, 5 years prior to falling on my son, to be like, you mean you love me still, like all the way, like even more than before? He goes, yeah, even more. I love you even more. I was like shocked out of my brain. And I was like, really well behaved. Like I would never cuss or anything. And he told me one time, he wanted me to say it. I was like, oh. And I was like, I mean, listen, I was like, I come from a generation, I'm 46. You don't cuss. Okay. You just don't do that. You just don't do that. But I just have to tell you that when he pulled me out of church, he was like, get mad. I'm not saying you guys should use, I'm not saying people should use profanity. You can have a much better vocabulary, okay? But what I'm saying is it's not such a big sin. I was so perfect. I wanted to please God so much. I hid away from him too. I was also hiding from him. Oh, I was thinking F you. Or I was thinking something in my head, but I wouldn't dare say it. And the Lord set me free. And he even told me to tell someone, F off. I was like, I mean, he even said, say it. And it was like huge for me. And the person was shocked. And he was like, and I said, get the F away from me and my family. Goodbye. I'm tired of your antics. And 6 months later, he called me. He apologized to me. He said, I'm so sorry. You know, I realize what you said, you know, was right, and God's convicted me. And he had this list of the things he apologized for, and he was so repentant and so sweet. But I held my ground. I was, get away, F off. And he was, like, shocked that I would even talk like that. But, you know, I was like everyone else. You know, you think because you have God and you have love, you know, I don't mind being a doormat, and I'm not really a pushover by nature, but I think because of a religious spirit, I would think, okay, I can suffer with somebody's weaknesses and be the bigger person. But God wasn't always calling me to do that, because as a Christian, we should. This is why I'm saying lines get blurred, and we think because we love Jesus that we have to put up with things that God didn't tell us we have to put up with, and that's what God was setting me free from. Because it is good to be the bigger person. It absolutely is good, and you should. You should always strive for that. But the problem with my life was that if I wasn't the bigger person all the time, I thought God was mad at me. I thought I had to be perfect, even though I knew no one's perfect. You know, it's that religious spirit that gets in there. Well, God will be disappointed in me. And God set me free from all of that. He even said, just sin. What, sin. Go do something for yourself, because that's what you think is a sin. You think I'm not going to like you anymore if you have nothing to do with church. And listen, God changed my life, you guys. And then he fell on my son 5 years later. And I had learned these lessons. Well, even since he's fallen on him and since we've been here, I've gone deeper in this authenticity. And that's why today I ranted. I was screaming so loud in my car, and then Jerry called and I started yelling too, and he heard me. He's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, yeah, it's not right. Why do you tell a single mom to go and quit everything? Why would you do that if you're not even going to fucking show up? It's not right. And I petitioned him. I said, this is what you told me to do. Okay, I did everything you told me to do. So you need to follow your responsibility. You said you were coming. And it's biblical to hold God accountable. It is biblical.
Oh, yeah.
It is biblical. And I felt like this righteousness in it, and I was stewing. I was like, this is enough. How long are you going to let us righteous people suffer? How long are you going to let us suffer, Lord? We have to see all this garbage. Our kids are seeing this garbage. You know, Jerry's daughter goes to a private Christian school, and 40% of the students of the students on campus say that they are LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and they say 40% of them. That's almost half on a Christian campus.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm telling you, I was in the high school world. Yes, it's really bad out there. Okay. And that's, you know, a lot of the reasons why I talk the way I do, even though I'm a grown-up, is because I'm around high school kids so much. I have two different vocabularies, you know. But when he fell on my son, I'm like, who cares? I'm just going to talk like I do at high school all day. And guess what? It doesn't matter. God's coming. Everything's different now. And the thing is, I was going, how long? It's not even about me and my personal life and why I need a rescue, because I do. We all do. Everyone needs a rescue, okay? This world is sick. But what I'm saying is it went beyond my personal life. I was pissed. I'm like, I was yelling at him for everyone's situations. I was yelling at him for us having to just be a part of this sick world and just sit here and watch Jade Helm and watch what these – so how am I going to let these evil people get away with this? Me and Pat can't breathe, Lord. And they keep telling us our lungs are clear. our lungs are clear. There's nothing wrong. Even when I went to the emergency room, they were like, are you stressed out about something? I'm like, no, I'm like the most de-stressed person you will ever meet. That's me, okay? No, I am not trying to act like I have some psychological problem because I can't breathe because my lungs are clear. And I'm like, no, I fucking can't breathe, okay? I wake up, you guys, and I can't breathe. I have to sit up sometimes. There is something in the chemtrail. I know it's chemtrails. I know that's what it is. And I'm like, God, do you not know the potion to heal me from this? You know, and I'm like yelling at him. I'm like, come on, enough is enough. How long are we going to suffer? Why are you letting us? We're just, I'm a little lamb here. And, you know, it's time to go. And I, and this is not groaning and complaining like the Israelites, okay? I just want to make that clear. I am not a whiny bride. I am not groaning. I was actually, when I was doing this, I was very much aware. I said, you know I'm not complaining. So I'm not complaining, God. What I'm saying is this is an injustice that us, righteous people in this land, are suffering. How long are you going to let this evil get away? How long are you going to let them get away with it? Just like David said in the Psalms, how long will you let evil men persevere and overtake me, Lord? Remember how David cried in the Psalms, you guys?
Yeah, yeah.
If David can do it, I can do it, and I was. This is different from being a whiner and a complainer and always complaining, God, this isn't perfect. No, I'm not. You haven't heard me complain once, okay? I am not complaining because I already learned I'm not going to be pathetic. I'm going to be powerful. Today was different, and this was a new experience for me because it was so heartfelt. It was so, and I was yelling, and Jerry can attest. I don't even know if he's still on the line, but, I mean, I was like, this isn't fun. Jerry, are you there? It was bad.
I'm here.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, hi.
Am I exaggerating?
No, you're not exaggerating. But if I had enough energy, I would have been in the same frame of mind. So I totally understood where she was coming from. But yeah, that's.
I'll see now. But when I started out saying that my testimony is just like Pat. When I was listening to Pat, I was like, it's just exactly like Pat. It's just, it was manifested in a different way. My sweetness with the Lord, I know this sounds weird, you guys, but my sweetness with the Lord today was manifested in a yelling fit. And Pat, you know, sweetness and richness with the Lord today was manifested in this, you know, beautiful fairy tale-like romance, which is what I have too. It was just a different type of day for me, and it was a different type of manifestation for Pat. But we're both serving the same glorious God. And not every day is a waltzing on the dance floor. And today I was not waltzing, but the same, me and Pat were doing the same thing. We were both with Jesus in the realness of the beauty of it. It's just mine was manifested. Hers was in a waltz, and I was in a rage, in a tirade. But it was righteous. It was righteous because, and I yelled at him. I said, you know I'm not complaining, God. I am not an Israelite. I am not doing this, but I am petitioning you. I am saying this is not right. How long, like David said, how long will you let evil men rule? How long? How long? How long? It's not right. And then I started yelling, right, Jerry? I just started yelling about all the things that are going on that aren't right. I'm not going to get too personal about what's going on, you know, in my personal life, but it's just, it's not right. You know, you don't tell a single mom to stop everything and give everything away. And then, you know, it's like I feel sometimes like he left me in a lurch. And I feel bad saying it because he really hasn't left me. He's miraculously provided.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is when he told me in my closet, he said, you are indeed among the most blessed when I landed on your son. He was letting me know how lucky and cherished I was to have the position I got at the end of time at the last minute. And when he did that, like when I knew it when he first fell on my son, and I knew it 8 months into it and even 9 months, but after a year of it, after November 19th of 2014, I'm not feeling like the luckiest person on the earth. And don't even tell me I am like you did, Lord. Don't even tell me that. And I'm still here because all I see is I just can't even stomach the news. I can't stomach the vaccinations.
Right.
I can't stomach all this sick stuff going on. I'm sick of it. And I'm like with David. So I wrote my own rapture-centric psalm today. I'm not going to read it to you because you guys would. Maybe I will another day. But I wrote my own psalm like David wrote. And I went in detail about how long you're going to let this happen and this happen and this, you know, and we can't even breathe. And, you know, you're letting us
stay alive, but just kill me. I've already asked if you could please kill me. And I said, who needs the jackass and her 10-year-old prophet? Nobody would care if we disappeared. Like, just take us, Lord. I mean,
oh,
just kill us, okay? I know, that's what Jerry said. But, I mean, like, who needs it, you know? It's like, it's
hard,
very,
it's
I have
hard.
a lot of things coming at me, and we all do, okay? Yes, oh, I like this, Carol. Carol says, I think you were having a contraction, as in birth pain. Judy, you know what? That's a good point, Carol, actually. That's actually a very spiritual thing to say. That's,
yeah.
That, I like that. Now, here's what I want to say, you guys.
And because my dad said I could share all this because I never want to make him look bad, I can only go into podcast for a minute here because I need to do all this stuff for the kids. And I just got home and I never put all my bags down. But
what I want to say is, unless Jerry can keep the show going, I have to go and we can mute it and listen. But I just want to finish and say none of this, this was my flirt today to you. I know it sounds weird, but this was my flirt, my authenticity, that I could be real with my dad and not go into hiding and be dysfunctional and have some bad hidden sin or habit, you know, that we do when we're in hiding. I let my dad, I let him know where I was at. I let him know how wrong I think it is that he still has us here. I let him know. I said, this isn't right. I know you're the king of the universe and you know everything, but I need some, this isn't right. This is not right. This bride who's innocent is still here seeing all this evil. I don't want to be in this perverse place because it's encroaching upon my house. And how fair is that, that we can't even, you know, go outside? And Jerry's daughter made a comment and said, Dad, it's everywhere. You'd have to, like, stay in your bedroom to not let it get you. Right, Jerry? And she's 16, correct?
Yeah, she basically says, yeah, I just have to stay inside, and I don't know if she said lock the doors, basically. And I said, yeah, I said I resemble that remark, because that's
and this is a 16-year-old, you know, who goes to a private Christian school, who 40% is LGBT, you know. And we're not saying you're bad, okay? If you're LGBT, we love you. God loves you, okay? We love you.
Those are
it's not that.
Schools. Those are two different schools, but yeah. But,
it's not a private Christian school?
No, the college is not. It's the college that has that, and I suspect that statistic is doubled, but that's what they're telling themselves.
Oh, wait, it's the 18-year-old?
She's 19 now, but yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the 16-year-old.
It's the college. It's not the high school.
Okay.
It's not the high school.
Oh, that's good. That's good. But still, it's bad.
Well, I'm sure that's
an
exaggeration, but it's bad.
I don't know
it's
about
bad.
That.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is, that was my experience today. I felt really relieved that I was able to do it. I thank Jesus that our King can handle all of our drama. We don't have to run and hide from him. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to go and hide from you, that I can come out in the open with everything, my disappointments, my lack of understanding of what you're doing, and just be real and get transformed by you. Now, because I was able to go to my real creator with my real condition and not hide it and go into some secret sin because I can't handle the stress of it all, because I was able to be open with a King, just like when you can be open and honest with a good friend, how it's like healing to your bones. You know how you have a good friend and you can just share something and it's like, oh, that felt good. Well, I was able to do that with him and it just felt good. Now, I still feel the same way, but, and it's not like it's better, because it really won't be till he gets here. But what is better is that at no point was I disconnected from my King, or did my King and I, was our union interrupted by my tirade today. It got stronger. And what religion can you say? And you tell me what religion that you can say besides the gospel of Jesus Christ, what other religion lets you be real and authentic with your creator, with your God and your religion? None. You could never act like that. But because Jesus took up all the sin on his back to become our friend, I could have what I had today with the creator of the universe. Yeah, the one that just fearfully and wonderfully made me. I could do what I did and not have to run under a rock and think he wanted to strike me with lightning, but I could get it out. And so I didn't kick my dog or yell at my kid or hit the cats or overeat or, you know, whatever dysfunctional things we do when we can't handle something, you know, and we just want to, like, drive our car off a cliff.
I was able to be authentic.
And I praise God that what Jesus did, mm-hmm. that broke that wall between us, that we mm-hmm. can be 100% authentic and real with him. And there was just a lot of comfort in doing that. And then when Jerry was on the phone, it was almost a comfort for him to hear me doing it. I don't know how to quite describe that. And it was almost like, I mean, I felt like most people would think, oh, your fellowship with God was interrupted or it was messed up. No, our union was stronger in the midst of it. And I really felt like he was comforting me. And I really didn't want him to because I was so mad, I almost wanted to feel like cut off from him. I don't know how to quite describe what I'm saying because I don't know if I'm saying it right. But it was almost like, just cut me off. And it was like he wouldn't.
Mm.
He wouldn't cut me off. He would never cut me off. He loves me.
Oh.
And he understands what I'm saying because I have the mind of Christ. So my creator gave me his mind. So I'm an intelligent being that he created. So he respects my intelligence because he gave it to me. He respects my reasoning because he gave it to me. And it just felt good to be able to do that. And what you might call a temper tantrum, the king mm-hmm. of the universe called, this one loves me. This one loves me enough to not give me the silent treatment, to not run away from me, but to stay in unfettered fellowship with me and bring mm-hmm. all of her stuff up that I can handle. Your regular mm-hmm. spouse can't, your best friend can't, but Jesus can handle he can handle all of the ugly. And that's what he told me a while back. He goes, most people can't handle the kind of stuff, your issues, but yes. I can. And that's mm-hmm. true about all of us, guys. We're not wired to handle everybody's issues. Life is hard enough, okay? My kid's not wired to handle my issues. We have to go with our issues to our king because he told me I can handle it. Come to me. See, so I'm real careful that I don't put my stuff on my kid or the people I live with or, you know, other people in my life because that's not right. But see, there was a day before God got a hold of me and healed me that I would, but I didn't really realize I was doing it because I was, mm-hmm. you know, but he wants it all and he can take it all. And I have comfort mm-hmm. in knowing that he let me host his church tonight. You know, mm-hmm. after all that, he lets me come home and host his church. What an honor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's our pastor. I'm not anyone's leader. He's our leader. But, you know, we're leaders. We are a church of leaders. We are leaders for his appearing to God. You know, we're leading this rapture, this elopture. We're leading. We're on the front lines and to leave, which is cute because a lot of people talk about the front lines on a war. We're on the front lines to get out of here. Okay?
Oh, yeah. That I got, I think it's kind of cute. I got that message that we are on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And,
I've had that like four months ago. I had that with yelling and screaming at him. And it took days to kind of get back into the thing.
I just want to explain it. Now, this was not a yelling and screaming fit. I want to kind of make it really clear
mm-hmm.
what this – it would look like that on the surface,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
what it was – what it was, you guys, this is new for me. This was like a new thing. It really was because I want to explain it right. I was writing my own psalm, like David's.
Mm-hmm.
How long?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to give you the details of what I was saying because some of it's really personal, the stuff that in my personal life going on, but then also at the world at large.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it out, and I'll maybe share it. But, you know, because I'm, how long? How long, O Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Vindicate us. I want to see these evil people, you know, poisoning our body with vaccinations and putting chemtrail in the sky. I want to see them punish these evildoers. But I don't want to see them utterly cast out. I want to see them saved. But I don't want them hurting my lungs and hurting me
mm-hmm.
and you because we don't deserve it. It's time to go. And you told us, God, it's time to go. So I wrote my own psalm today, and
mm-hmm.
and you might think, oh, boy, God must be mad. No, he loved me more. He loved me through it. I think he actually inspired
mm-hmm.
it. I think it was actually him upraging through me because it wasn't a groaning children of Israel thing. It wasn't that.
I think what Carol's saying is right. It's a birth pang, a contraction. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to, you know, put a spiritual spin on a natural emotion, but I'm telling you, this wasn't just natural. There was more to it. This is mm-hmm. was a truly spiritual experience today, and I was reflecting on it like all day as I was at work. I was like, because it was different, because the other ones I was complaining, but I had reason to complain, but still I chose the higher road after I was done complaining to straighten up. But this one, I didn't have to change anything when I was done. It was like, no, this still stands, even now as I'm mm-hmm. sharing it. My psalm mm-hmm. that I wrote about us still being here and how long, it stands. And I will proudly read it to my daddy till he gets here, until he takes it off my heart to do it, because I'm petitioning him. And that's scriptural and that's biblical. Jacob wrestled with God. Don't get all rebellious if you don't have it in your bones. Don't act like, just be yourself. But this is rising up in me. And I do think it's a flirt, and I think it's a sign. And I appreciate that we have this platform here with each other at RCC to share mm-hmm. our experiences and to uplift one another and to be encouraged by one another, because I'm certainly encouraged by what people are sharing here in the last hour, and I, you know, in the last hour before we leave, and on our show, in our hour show. And I'm certainly encouraged by God himself and what he did to me today, and how the other times where I've kind of groaned and complained, I get it out, and then God, and then I repent, and then God's all good. I just kind of say, I'm sorry, God, you know, I don't mean it, but you know, I'm blah, blah, blah. And then we're all good. But this was very different, you guys. It was a psalm written from a rapture-centric soul that is crying out for God to no longer let these evil doers, and we're talking Satan and his demons, mm-hmm. not the people that God's going to save, okay? But they're manifesting through people, through our leaders, okay? But I'm talking, how long are you going to let the devil and his demons oppress us, set us free? We're in Egypt yep. here. Set us free. Come and get us. And I didn't feel that he told me I needed to change it. Like, I felt like I was pleading my case before the judge, and that he heard my case. And I'm in perfect agreement with him. And I really believe that the judge is going to say, case settled. I'll be there in an hour.
Wow.
And I love you guys. And,
yeah, we love you too.
Let's just keep it
mm-hmm.
keep it real as the deal. Don't let any of the stress of being here overtake you. Come here to your family and share. Let us minister to you. Let us love you. Because chances mm-hmm. are, if you're something's really getting you, there's someone else going through it too, you guys. We're all, but what we are is we aren't pathetic. We're powerful. We are a powerful bride, and we will hold one another up, and we mm-hmm. will keep this attitude of praise and worship and joy and excitement of his appearing, and we'll keep it real before the creator of the universe. And you know, I wasn't going to share this because I was like, God, I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea that, you know, but he said, no, it's share it, because you know, God can handle it. And just in case you have any religious, you know, I'm still getting rid of my religious you know, my religious spirit in me every day that I'm here a little more, you know, we're getting delivered all up until he gets here. No one's perfect. God's going to continue to deliver us right up until he comes to get us. He's going to continue to require childlike faith right up until he gets us. On the very day that he comes to get us, we probably will have demonstrated more childlike faith than we had in our whole years of knowing him. And that's the truth, because if he's going to be waiting this long, the childlike faith that I'm displaying is getting greater and greater with each passing hour, not just day. And I think I'm not the only one that can say that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at this church, because he gave many of us promises and said things, and now it looks like they didn't come true. He told Raina she was with her kids, single mom. He told her to quit her job, and now she had to go back. He didn't tell her to, but she had to. He didn't tell me to go back. I did it because I live with a sister who's like, okay, you need to like help me out here, you know, and I don't blame her. But at the same time, there is enough, but it wasn't enough for her. But I'm not blaming her. I did it out of, you know, okay. But I feel God loves me, and he's with me, and but it's not right, because that's not what he said that he was coming and for me to stop everything. He said to homeschool my son until he gets here. He said, you know,
And so a lot of things totally don't make 100% sense to me either. But all up in it, what does make sense to me is that I know my Creator's not a liar. He doesn't play games. And I literally, my childlike faith has held me together. And it is not for wimps. I am not confused. I'm not unsettled. I'm not walking around in fear. I am a roaring, courageous lion. And I know what I'm talking about. I just don't know what the hell is going on all the time. But if anyone tells me they do, I probably won't trust them because nobody does.
No.
But I'm humble enough to listen to what people think he's doing. And we get a lot. We're getting a lot of information on what he is doing. So that's exciting. But none of us is going to get 100% the full picture. Well, unless he wants to. You know, I wouldn't ever put it past God to do 100%. I don't want to sell him short. But, you know, I told him today, God, you think you could figure out the antidote for my breathing problem? Because, you know, I was being really sarcastic. I said, you know, I can't freaking breathe. Do you think you might want to figure out the serum I could take to fight this since you're letting evildoers, like, affect me? You know, I mean, I was really kind of sorry. You think you could maybe drop something out of the sky? And, you know, and it's like, I mean, my inhaler is going to run out and it's going to cost money. And even though I'm back to work, it's pennies. Okay. It's substitute teaching pay and rent here in California is crazy. And it's enough to keep anyone way below the poverty line. I mean, put it this way, I'm probably still eligible for food stamps, which I refuse to get. I don't really know for sure. And I refuse to even go down there. And if you're on them, no shame to you if anyone listening is. I just personally, I said, for me, I didn't have faith for it. Even though I was tempted to do it a few times in this past year, because I was like, oh, I should be doing, and I just didn't have the faith for it. Honestly, I didn't. I was like, God, and God didn't let me. He didn't want me to. He did not give me the faith to do that. I just couldn't do it because I have to know that God is doing a thing, okay? And I am not against work. I actually like, I don't mind the subbing. What I'm saying is God told me not to. So I'm like, so why am I then? And why aren't you damn here? And why, you know, why are you letting these evildoers do all this? So maybe I'll read my psalm when I get really bold and brave. But for now, that part is just between me and God.
Okay.
And, but you get the picture. I said enough.
Yeah.
And guys, I know that I know that I know that I know he's coming today.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everything I just said, it's like, you're not really making sense. Why would you make a big deal out of all this if we're leaving tonight? Yeah, I don't know. You go tell me. But I know we're leaving tonight. It's Ascension Day. He told us he's coming. I think we're leaving today and this month and this weekend and before Monday. I really do with all my heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I petitioned God. And I pled my case before the king like David did in the Psalms. How long, O Lord?
Yeah.
And I know he heard me. And I know he's been hearing your cries.
Sure.
So, anyway.
All right, honey. Hang in there.
I love you guys. And it's good, though. It's good. This isn't a sorry, pitiful thing. It's a good
thing. Oh, no, of course not.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, Derry, did you want to continue the show or do I need to let it go now?
I think it would be good to let it go because I can't really speak any amount. So, but maybe tomorrow. If tomorrow, I might have something to kind of continue on if we're here from what you're saying.
Okay. So I love you guys. I hope my flirt didn't depress anyone. It was really fun.
No. Of course not. We understand.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through that four months ago. We were kind of talking to each other because I just really went off. But I felt justified in going off on him. Like, what? You know, and I was screaming for everybody else. But I was honest. I was from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he wasn't mad at me or anything. But he knew. And you read the Bible. There's people who have gone off on him in the Bible. Are you kidding?
That's right. That's
and you know what? It was actually very righteous and very godly. And it's an act of faith because someone that doesn't believe in someone would just quit talking to them. The worst thing that a human being can ever do to another human being is give them the silent treatment. My second husband did that,
I used to hate it. I would have rather been yelled at. I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah,
he just would not. He shut down. And I just, that's cruel. He just cut me off. And I just, I thought that was the cruelest thing. Like, at least tell me, talk to me, you know.
You're not alone.
Jesus, I know how that feels in the natural. It's to me, it's the worst thing. I would rather someone, like, yell at me, even on the phone, than give me a silent treatment. Like, tell me, because I do that with my son. He'll do something, and I'll say, tell me how you really feel. I can tell you're mad. He's like, no. And I'm like, tell me. You know,
that's good,
like,
to get
don't
it out.
Keep it silent. I have a personal issue with that because it's like I would rather someone be real with me and tell me rather than try to spare me because they don't really want to say. And then my son, he's gotten used to it now, so he doesn't do it anymore. He goes like, okay, you know how you said this? Well, I didn't really like that because of this, and I really wish you wouldn't say that. I was like, okay, thanks for telling me. And I appreciate that. And even though I don't 100% agree, but I will try, you know. And we have talks like that, me and my 11-year-old. Because you know what? The truth is, don't give God the silent treatment, no matter how hard it is right now, you guys.
Oh,
he'd rather you yell and scream and pout and cry and petition him. He would rather you petition
you
him
kidding?
Like the woman. Mm-hmm. Like the woman who pulled on the garment, you know, heal me, heal. Okay, geez, she won't leave me alone, you know. I'm thinking if I do this enough and we all do this enough, I'll come get it, you know. But actually, that's really not, he's not really like, he doesn't want to come get us. It's the Jesus and God got this thing going where Jesus is just beside himself. Let me get them. And God's like, almost. And my son saw a vision and pull back his finger, almost. And Jesus got all mad and jumped in a chariot to come get us early, and God pulled him back. He said, right when he was almost here, God went, and my son saw his big finger in the sky, and he pulled him back.
Oh, gosh.
Now, like, behave.
Bless you,
or
Jesus.
So,
you
know,
our side.
God the Father and God the Son are two different entities in one being, and they both are working toward one goal, but they have different personalities. And on the one hand, God's like, I want to go now. And the other hand is like, I can't yet, right? And I know it sounds bipolar, but it's the truth. And that's what's really happening, because I believe a 10-year-old prophet. I believe his vision over anything, because I know what I saw, and I know God delivered that. And I know, I wish I didn't know that I know that I know that I know so much, because then I could just, you know, but I can't let this go. I'll never let this go. And I won't ever let it go, because it was authentic and real. It's kind of like, you know how some people are really passionate for causes and they'll never shut up. You're like, God, I wish all they ever do is talk about. Well, this is what happened when God landed on my son and made me rapture centric. I was into God coming on 2012. I just wasn't rapture centric. Well, you go try having yourself come home one day and your kid's prophesying he's 10 years old and doesn't eat and drink and is suddenly reading scripture and using words that you've never heard. Okay, no. I will never deny this, and I can't help this. I can't be any other way, because I know what I know. I would like to – sometimes I've psyched myself out. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pretend none of this happened. And I tried a couple times. It didn't work because I was mad because we were still here. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And then I even threatened God. I think I did a video. I threatened him, and then that didn't work. I was doing all these, like, things, and, you know, it's finally come down to this. A good old-fashioned David psalm, biblical psalm of petition and stating our case before the king. It's really God the Father. Jesus is hysterically jumping, and my son saw him jumping up and down throwing a fit. He wants to come like no one's business, okay? So, but God the Father is like this chief CEO, and he's got to organize the entire universe, and everything has to be in play before he says, okay, son, go get my kids. I just got chills when I said that. Woo.
Yeah.
Before he says, okay, son, go get my kids. Let's have a marriage. Before he says that, that just everything has to be in the proper place. And it's about to happen. It really is about to happen. And I know that with my whole heart. And that's what's so hard, because we know this, and then we wake up and we're still here, but we know it, and we can't ever let it go. And I know if you're rapture-centric, if God has allowed you to have this ailment, because it is an ailment, there's no cure for you except the rapture.
if he's allowed you to have this, you know, it's not a curse. It's a blessing, but sometimes it can feel that way if, you know, we're not keeping childlike faith and seeing through the eyes of the Spirit. But very, very rarely can those feelings overtake me, because I just know that I know that I know, because I know, like, I'm looking at the white wall in front of me right now, that the wall is white. I know he's coming any second. And, you know, it's really important when people hear share, because Pat's flirts are key to us leaving. It's kind of like God put us together to be kind of a thermometer, to give us a sign. And so it's really important, if you're getting garage worked on your life, don't think like, oh, it's not about me, though. Yes, it actually is. The elopture is about people in the RCC family. So, and I know my importance, and so I'm talking because I'm not arrogant, but I know how important and loved I am. And I know God doing this to me today, big sign for this body and for you. And I know when Pat and Jerry and Alana and different people share, I know that their flirts are a huge sign for me that we're leaving. So what I'm saying is, I hope you're encouraged, because the fact that he did this to me today and I have this experience, that's huge. Like Carol said, I think she was sort of joking, but I think it's a contraction, because I'm important to the elopture, and so are you. And if you knew your importance, you'd probably be sharing more and calling in and realizing, oh, it has to do with me. Yeah, it's all about the day that Jerry signed in. It's all about the day God said he could sign in now. It is. Jerry, sign for you. It's all about, so Jerry, please tell me. Please tell me what he's doing, because it really is all about you. Our departure, this body, is about you. It's about Alana. It's about Rosemary. It's about Carol. It's about you. So when you know how important and special you are, and how your life, how Jesus is treating you and flirting with you in this last hour, how it's a sign and a flirt and a wonder and just like we have signs that Jesus is coming, these flirts in your personal life are a sign that the elopture is about to happen. And so that's why I say, please share it. Nothing's too small. When Pat was seeing all those 44s yesterday, I knew instantly, because Jerry was saying the same thing, and Jerry and Pat hadn't talked, and Jerry didn't know that Pat had already told me. And Jerry was like, he couldn't believe the 44s. He was like, this is ridiculous. And then, you know, and I knew the fact that Pat was having those at an increased speed, that I'm like, okay, this means something. This means something. So,
yes,
it means something. These words are not just, oh, God, nothing. Go ahead.
On that note, I spent a prolonged amount of time in bed overnight, and I rolled over and looked at the clock 4 different times. 3 of those times, it was 44 minutes after the hour.
See that? Same today.
And it totally random. I mean, I'm not trying. In fact, then it happened again this morning, and I actually knew what time it was, and I avoided looking at the clock so that I wouldn't see it. And then I'm just like, oh, okay. Then I think about something else. Okay, it's time to get up. I turn around and look at the clock, and there it is.
Yeah.
It's just pervasive. Everywhere.
It doesn't stop. You can't make it up. What is he doing?
Okay, so see now, Jerry. See now, that's huge. Now, Jerry, in such a small amount of time, have you ever seen such an increased speed of that?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay, do you guys see what I'm saying here?
No. I mean, I've seen numbers over the years, and I've never really, but this is... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unprecedented, even in my experience.
Yeah.
Okay, so see, this is really huge to our departure. Be encouraged, you guys. You know, it's not stuck up. You're not arrogant.
No.
If you know how important you are and you're saying, this is what God did, I'm here to tell you that, yeah, I know I'm important because God loves me and so are you. Mm-hmm. And because he's doing this to me, I'm telling you, I have never had this experience in my life that I had today. It was different. It wasn't being letting off steam. It was like a real psalm that I was writing about evildoers, and it's not right. You need to come get us now.
this is not okay. Like, God, whatever you're doing, Jesus agrees with me. It's time to come get us. God, you need to, like, put your God of the universe. So go ahead and move those chess pieces right where they need to be today. Because Jesus agrees it's time to go get us, okay? And you know, and you have to remember that you have the mind of Christ. So if I'm saying this, it's not just me talking random. I already died, and I died even a bigger death when he fell on my son, and I gave up everything for his appearing. Everything that mattered, I gave away, just so you guys know, except my kid and my cats, okay? And I wish I had some of those things back, honestly, because I could have used them, knowing I was going to be here this long. But that's another thing I don't need. Because you know what? I'm happy I did it because I did it in childlike faith. I could use the rent money that I gave people. I could use it now. I really could. Things are really, really tight. And just because I'm doing a patch-up work trying to grab sub-jobs here and there. I've been doing it almost every day. And it's just patch-up work because school ends on the 31st. And that's what I told God. After this month, I have no more work. So now what am I going to do? There's nothing. You know, he needs to come. And that's why I was petitioning. That was another thing. I'm like, this isn't right. This isn't right. And the thing is, I'm not trying to, like, buy a car, okay? You know, get a water bottle for my bike that I'm riding now to get the fixture put on it so that I can, you know, bike to work. And these are little things we all know things cost money. And so I was petitioning, it's not right. It is not okay, both personally and on a global scale, because it's encroaching in. It's enough already. You're going to let us be tainted by this evil?
Exactly.
No. Barry's 19-year-old daughter, who has godly principles, should not be in a college, you know, where a large percent of them are LGBT. Why should she? Why should she?
It gets better than that. I haven't told you this, but there's a Wednesday night service that she's been singing for. They call it InterVarsity. The week before school is let out, the president and the vice president of the organization, the student part of the organization, which is also cooperation with some churches in the area, were two girls, and they came out and said that they were dating each other. And so they had to be dismissed from the organization.
Well, nothing surprises us anymore.
Yeah, it's a fine arts school, so that's partly it. But I can tell you, everywhere I'm looking, every school that we're participating in, everything that I see, it's just like everything the rest of us see. It's everything is in decline. It's just time to go.
Yeah, it's time to go.
You know, it's in a decline, and God has allowed for it. It's time to pull us out of this and let the rest of his plan go forward.
It reminds me